This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are excited to be joined right now by Yankee legend Andy Pettit. You can't say opening day at Yankee Stadium, BT, it feels like, without Andy Pettit. Welcome aboard, Andy. How are you?
Thank you. I'm wonderful.
You'll be throwing out the first pitch today, a little different from taking those opening day starts.
Yeah. Super excited. Just honored that they'd asked me to do it. And I'm here. I'm here with the team. And so it's exciting. It's going to be fun. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, make sure you stretch. You can't be short hopping that first. No. You going to the rubber? You going to the slope? What are we doing there, Pettit?
I got to go to the rubber.
Yes,
right?
You have to.
I got to figure out the strategy today because last year I threw out the first pitch of the playoffs.
And I remember.
I was loose. I've been throwing BP to the team. I throw it 45 feet though. When I throw batting practice to back up that extra 15 feet,
yeah,
I didn't quite make it there. I gave him a little short hop, so I was kind of embarrassed. I reared back and threw it pretty hard. So I don't know. We got to find a happy medium where I throw a strike. That's the most important thing.
Something I never thought would give Andy Pettit pitching advice. What you got to do is you got to aim high because if you aim high and you're a little short, as we get older, we're going to be shorter,
start shrinking,
and then it's right over the middle of the plate.
There
you got to go high.
Yeah, and the slope, you know, everything.
Yeah.
It's just a big difference. I'm out there throwing on flat ground, so I got to make the adjustment today.
How do you feel about this Yankees team? Last time they were in the World Series, obviously, get there last year, first time since 2009. How do you feel about the Yankee expectations going into this year?
Yeah, I feel good about them, you know. Obviously, you know, when you ask me that question, the first thing you think about is losing our ace, right, with Garrett Cole going down. But you look at it, and it's like every year you got to overcome stuff, right? And that's how I look at it this year. It's going to give some people opportunities to step up. And, you know, when I broke into the Yankees, I would have never maybe gotten the opportunity if we didn't have a couple of guys get injured. You know, Melito Perez and Jimmy Key went down, and it gave me my chance. And for two offseason in a row, they talked about they were going to trade me, this and that, and I was able to step in and really build my career, you know, and that first season and really settle in. And then the rest is kind of history. And I look at that as an opportunity for someone. So on the pitching side, obviously when you see Garrett go down, we know Hill's going to be a little behind, but he's on the mend's. It's coming back. Clark's down in Tampa still trying to get him back. What a great arm he is.
He's good.
Really need him. He's really good. We need him back in this rotation. But we've got some guys. Will Warren's going to step up. I do believe that. He's still developing and growing as a pitcher. And Marcus is still here, obviously. Of course, you bring in Max, and what a great addition he is to the club. Carrasco has been unbelievable. I love the presence that he's going to bring. And, of course, our opening day starter today, Carlos Rodon. And Carlos is, I think, continuing to grow as a pitcher and figuring all this out. And excited to watch him work today. So feel real good about the team. I really do. We got some good additions offensively. I love Belly. I love, you know, Goldie, them guys coming on. You got to go play the games, and you got to go see how we gel. Spring training was great. It seemed like the chemistry of the team is really, really good. Booney's done a great job with that, so I'm super excited about where we're at.
What's it like now? You guys obviously won at 96, and you had a rough first outing. I remember that game with Andrew Jones, right, twice.
Yep.
I mean, that was a rough start. Of course, you wound up proving your mettle very quickly thereafter and becoming an all-time Yankee pitcher. But it's not easy. I mean, we make it sound easy on the radio, but there's a lot of young players that were on this World Series stage a year ago. How does that help them this year?
It's huge. It really is. I don't know if people can really understand that, but just understanding the whole process of this, the atmosphere. It's just like you just talked about, game one of the World Series. I had just pitched game five to get us to the World Series and was very comfortable in that situation, right? And I'll never forget flying back to New York, and Joe Torre calls me up to the front of the plane and says, "Hey, how do you feel about starting game one of the World Series?" I'm thinking, what the heck? I just pitched. Why am I starting game one?
And you were a young kid.
Exactly.
23 maybe?
Exactly. Wow. And so I'm like, hang on, you got David Cone, you got Jimmy Key, it's their turn to pitch, you know what I mean? So I started playing that game up in my mind just so much, and put so much pressure on myself going out for game one, and it was a disaster. I couldn't even tell you when I came out of that game what some of the pitches that I was even throwing, the sequences that I was throwing. I was just so out of sorts. But then it happened like that, and then just to be able to regroup, to kind of get back to yourself, and then to be able to go into Atlanta and be able to do what I did, right?
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, it is the learning experiences that you hope that everyone gets out of every game that they play, every opportunity, hopefully every big moment that they have, how you can control your emotions as a pitcher, making quality pitches, not letting the moment get too big. It's huge for these guys to have had that experience, and also to have been there and to taste it and to know what it feels like. And you hope that drive and that hurt just makes them play every day of this season, no matter what's going on, with the same urgency of knowing that that's what you have to do. That's the urgency you have to have to be able to get to where you want to in October. And that should be our goal, to be able to get back to that World Series. And it doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter. No one's going to feel sorry for you. You got to strap up your boots and get after it and play the games. And come together as a team.
BT and Sal, the fan, live at Yankee Stadium, joined by Andy Pettit. One of the things I loved about you, I mean, truth be told, I grew up a Met fan, so I actually hated you. But one of the things I loved about you was you were one of the great competitors in the sport at your time. And you did it here in New York on the biggest stages. You're not a guy that's from New York, but you represented New York almost more than anybody, or as well as anybody, with that competitive fire. Is that something that was always just in you? Did you feed off of the energy in New York? What was that like to be as competitive as you were for this town, this fan base?
Yeah, I was always very competitive. My personality is not real outgoing. I kind of like to stay in the background. So being on the mound at Yankee Stadium was something that I really had to grow to feel comfortable with and got so comfortable with it. But, my stuff, even as a minor leaguer, I didn't have the best stuff. I didn't throw 95 miles an hour, I pitched at 91 to 92 whenever I was in my prime. I could maybe get up to 94. I think I threw one or two pitches in my career at 94 miles an hour. So it was always a grind for me, and I always had to make pitches. And so I think just as I went through the minor leagues and then obviously coming up here at the big league level, being in trouble, knowing that the way I had to get it done was to grind through it, to be competitive, to mentally stay engaged every single pitch. And that was kind of where I felt like that I kind of earned my medal at.
What I'm saying?
It wasn't with – I don't think I ever threw a fastball right down the middle in my whole career. I couldn't. I mean, exactly. I could not do that. And then, of course, you have success early in your career, and then, of course, you realize what it's like to win here and how great it is. And it almost – it's almost like addicting. It kind of gets built inside of you, and you know, you just you were just so hungry every year. And we had a great group of guys. Obviously, we had a great owner in Mr. Steinbrenner. What he did, the way he pushed us, we knew that if we weren't getting our job done, that he was going to bring somebody in here to get it done. And he done a wonderful job. Obviously, Hal's doing a great job building the team, putting a championship caliber team out on the field every year. But all those things all together, you know, the players that I had around me, the group that we had, we all wanted to just get after it every single day, and we just had a great chemistry together.
Well, we can live another 50 years, all, God willing, and we might not see a collection of that talent and that chemistry and that toughness and that resolve. That was just obviously a special group. Andy Pettit with us here, BT and Sal, and all the fans. You mentioned George. You mentioned Hal. You've been in the family here for almost 40 years, just under 35, 40 years, just about. Are you surprised that they got rid of the facial or amended the facial hair policy? Because when I see Pettit, I see glove over his face.
Oh, that stare.
Little 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah.
You know, big nose like me as well. Yeah, I got a little bit of schnoz on me,
you got
too.
A big nose? I know. Nobody's ever told me I had a big nose.
But I can see you in October having more than one day growth like you used to. Would you have bought into that? And are you surprised they changed the policy?
Yeah, so... I was a little surprised just because I had heard rumblings of it a little bit, you know, talk of it last year maybe a little bit. But then, you know, Hal called me in the office in spring training and asked me, you know, my thoughts on it and stuff like that. And I'm not surprised with seeing where some of the stuff that he told me that, you know, we might be losing a few players that
Devin
we would
was vocal
yeah,
about that.
You
sure.
know, Devin. So, you know. Look, times changes, things change. Mm-hmm. I told him, you just said it. I had a 5 o'clock shadow. I pitched. I shaved after the game. And then I prayed that we didn't have a rain out where it was my sixth day or it was an off day because I did not want to shave before I pitched.
Uh-huh.
I just did not want to be
I hear ya.
Smooth shaved. I don't know, you know. And
you look too nice.
I actually mentioned that to Hal. I said, I don't know. I don't know if it made me look tougher, but I wanted to look tough. And he goes, no, I think a lot of people have told me that, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, you just – there was something about feeling a little rugged out there on the mound, you know.
Clemens, too.
And so I loved it. I mean, I love that it's the, you know, we're going to always be classy here, you know. But there's so many things that have changed now as far as when I played, you had to have black spikes. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
now
yeah,
we got all kinds of
celebrations,
spikes.
The bat flips.
We got all kind of different.
The neon
colors.
Arm sleeves.
Exactly. We've got all kind of different belts and stuff like that going on. So, you know, times change. We got to keep up with it. The players are a little bit different. If that's important to the players now, you know. I told him that if he felt like it was something that needed to be changed and felt, you know, I backed him 100% on it, and I don't think it's an issue.
Do you think you belong in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, man. I've said this before over and over. I never felt like a Hall of Fame pitcher. You know what I'm saying? Because of the reasons why I just told you. The Hall of Fame players that I saw were Wade Boggs, Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera. I watched them guys for years and years, not Boggsy, but Jeter and Mariano. And the game was just – it looked so easy for them, and it was so difficult for me. Obviously, I feel like I'm getting a little bit of traction just from the standpoint of it was C going in maybe. But that would be a great honor if that was ever to happen. But, you know, we'll see how that all works out.
I ask it. Because I believe you are a Hall of Famer because of the success you had in the postseason. Yankee Dynasty, we went over all that stuff. And then I wonder if the PED stuff, which is obviously a blemish, maybe the one blemish on your career, has taken you out of the mind frame of some of the voters or the people who, you know, have a say about you getting back in potentially. But I think there are guys in the Hall of Fame that I would rather have you start a game, a do-or-die game over, which is why I say I think Andy Pettit should be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, again, I have no idea as far as what's hurting me or helping me or whatever, but I'm just honored to be on the ballot and to be talked about each and every year like I am.
And it is different with you, Andy, with the PED stuff, because you came out, addressed it head-on, took accountability, where a lot of these guys who aren't getting in, Bonds, McGuire, A-Rod, so on and so forth, they have no chance because they have been lying about it. But for you, at least, you addressed it head-on.
Well, it was easy for me to address. It was very simple and for me to share exactly what I had done and why I did it. And really, that's it. I did not have anything to hide. I continued to play, I'm not sure, for 6 or 7 years, you know, after that. And It hasn't been an issue. It wasn't an issue when I played. I'm not exactly sure why, as far as with the fans and stuff like that, but just very thankful and very blessed, again, to be able to have continued to play and have the long career that I had.
And Andy, by the way, you know, and I would agree with Sal, based on your postseason prowess and being a staple at the top of the rotation, one of the most dominant dynasties of all time, not just you, but I think Posada, I'm not saying that they should all be in. I want to be clear. I'm not just going to say that because you're sitting in front of me, but I think that a lot of players that you played with should have garnered more respect. Bernie should have gotten more votes. Posada should have gotten more votes. And I don't understand why they seem to, that Yankee dynasty seems to be kind of glossed over a little bit, not in terms of our hearts or the memory of baseball fans, but in terms of Cooperstown. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure why. I hate to admit it, I'm not like a great stat hound as far as like paying attention to exactly what I even did in my career as far as number-wise and stuff like that, much less everyone else, the other names that you just mentioned. But it does seem that they did not get very much attention from the standpoint of Bernie and Georgie. Those are two of the greatest players that I've ever played with.
Hey, you got two switch hitters, champions. What are we doing here?
I mean, it's really – and again, I don't even know. I wish I knew how many homers they had or whatever.
I got you.
But so you're saying that. They're obviously great friends of mine. I would love nothing more than to see those guys be celebrated in great, great ways. So I'm not sure why.
Well, listen, man, I know we know you have a busy day today. Make sure that wing is nice and lubed up before you go out. No worm burners, no 55-footers. Get a 60 feet, 6 inches, little cut.
It's been 25 years since game one of the 2000 World Series. Zeal's ball should have gone out. Zeal wore you out.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And that ball hit the top of the fence.
Top of the wall.
And Timo Perez, you guys threw him out.
Oh, yeah. That was a huge play.
That changed everything.
I guess you play golf with Todd. Tell Todd he needed to hit it a tiny bit further.
a little more on the sweet spot, Andy. He got in his hands just a little bit on the thin part of the bat.
Bad pitch selection. I should have stayed away from him. I don't think he had power the other way.
I should have stayed away from him.
I think the greatest compliment you could pay a player is if an opposing fan base hated you when you played. From a Met perspective, you were that guy because you were just so damn good, as I said before. I think you belong in the Hall of Fame. Good luck with the first pitch today. Pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much, Andy Pettit. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, guys. Thank
you. Class act.